Thank you, Austin Rosetta. Appreciate that. Psalms chapter 5 tonight. Psalms chapter 5. I do appreciate everyone being here tonight. This is kind of the trifecta of what a preacher would dread for an evening service. The local sports team playing in a big game, people being sick, and the weather's not the best, and it's really cold. So I know that hinders some people from being in church. So I do appreciate each of you that made an effort to be out here tonight, especially to listen to me, of all people. So, amen, Brother Grimes. But praise the Lord, and Brother Grimes can amen this. It's not me you're here to listen to tonight. You're here to listen from the Lord, amen. Because I know if you come to listen to me, you're going to get nothing. It's going to help in no way, shape, or form. But if the Lord speaks to us tonight, that's going to mean something. And so thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Psalm chapter 5 tonight. You have to excuse me, my throat has been bothering me some today. But Psalm chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse number 1. David speaking says this. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come unto thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, God. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for these people, God, that make up Faith Baptist Church. Father, it's not just a building, it's not just a place, but it's, Lord, these group of believers, Lord, that love you, that care about the things of God, Lord, that are willing to come out on a Sunday night, Father, when there could be other things that they could be doing or excuses that they could have used to not be here. But Lord, thank you for their faithfulness to your house. Thank you for their faithfulness to one another, God. And Lord, I mean that when I said that tonight, Lord, to listen to me of all people, God, I know I'm a nothing and I'm a nobody. But I'm thankful, Lord, as I've said, God, we're not here to listen to me. We're here to listen to you and to hear from you, God. And so, Lord, tonight, as I stand behind this pulpit and try to preach your word, God, I pray that Jesus Christ would be the one that's lifted up. God, that he would draw all men to himself. That God, you would get me out of the way, and Father, that you'd be magnified, and you'd be glorified, and Father, you'd be lifted up. God, especially for the effort that these folks made to be here tonight, God, or maybe they wanted to watch the game, but they chose to come to church instead, or they're not feeling the best, but they came, or they were worried about the roads, but they still came. Lord, for their sake, God, would you use me tonight, Father, to give them something from your word? Lord, I believe the message is what you laid on my heart, God, and I've tried to pray up, and I've tried to study up, God, and do my part. And so, Lord, I need you to do your part, because, Lord, once again, this will mean nothing unless you do the work, unless, Lord, you're the one that speaks to hearts. And so, God, whether it's the focal point of the message and the points and the different things, Lord, or maybe it's just a passing verse, a passing thought, maybe something that someone here tonight needs to hear, God, I just pray that you would give them something from your word, encouragement, challenge, direction, whatever it may be. God, would you please speak to us tonight? Lord, would you help me, God? I need you so very much. And Lord, I just want to lift up your name. And Lord, I want to be a faithful servant to do what you've called me to do. So Father, give me your power tonight for your glory and honor. God, help me preach as a dying man to dying men. And I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor because you are the one that deserves it. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get here to Psalms chapter 5 in the beginning of this passage, we find and we see that David is trying to get a hold of God. David's trying to talk to the Lord. David's trying to get the Lord to hear from him. And in the beginning of verse number 5, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." And I like David when you look at him in the scripture, and I love the passion and the seriousness he has about trying to get a hold of God. I like that you can just tell from his words, and not just this chapter, but you just look through the book of Psalms, that you know what? He was passionate about talking to God. He was passionate about the Lord hearing from him. And not just that, but he was serious as well. But you see him crying out. You see him over and over again. Three verses he writes down here about God. Give ear to my words. Give hearken to the voice of my cry. Unto thee will I pray. He was passionate about hearing from the Lord. And he was serious about it. Right, he put effort into it. He put time into it. He put care. He didn't just come to God flippantly saying, Lord, I have this prayer. I have this request. I have this thing I'm looking for. You know, just hum-de-dum and let me go on to this next thing. No, he was serious about it. He put his effort. He put his heart saying, God, no, I really want to hear from you. Lord, I really want you to hear my prayer and my cry. And I noticed too, and you notice in verse number 3 that it talks twice about, he says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And I think that's a picture of David just saying, you know what, at the beginning of the day, before anything else, Lord, I'm putting my focus on you. Lord, I'm putting the priority on talking to you, on hearing from you before anything else. Before I scroll along on social media, God, I want to talk to you. Before I get on the phone game that takes me half an hour to collect all the resources and collect all the things and do the stuff, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, before I text so-and-so or watch TV or read the newspaper, God, I want to hear from you. He put a seriousness on it. He put an emphasis on it. I'm not saying, you know, I know for some people it works to read the Bible or pray in the evening. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I think there's a picture here of David just simply saying, God, you're the one I'm seeking first. Lord, I'm serious about hearing from you and you hearing from me. You go over to, keep your spot here, but you go over to Psalm chapter 63. In Psalm chapter 63, I'm talking this morning, what in the world? This evening, about David trying to get a hold of God. And in Psalm chapter 63, and in verse number 1, David speaking again, Psalm 63 and verse number 1, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. There's that early again. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Once again, David expressing his desire for God, his desire and his seriousness to hear from the Lord using this analogy of my soul thirsteth for thee and I long for thee in a dry and thirsty land. I'm just trying to show that he was serious and he was passionate about it. And can I ask church this evening, are we the same way about hearing from God? Do we have that same passion and that same seriousness about getting a hold of the Lord? About hearing from God, about hearing our prayers answered, about getting direction, about getting guidance, about whatever it may be in our life. And I'm thinking about, you know, our kind of mini revival that we're having this coming weekend, next Sunday, with Brother Pilkington. Can I ask, do you have a seriousness, do you have a passion about God? I want to hear from you during the revival. God, I want you to speak to my heart. God, I want you to do something in my life during this special meeting that we're having a special preacher, an extra night, putting some money and time into having a meeting. God, I want you to do something special. Or is it just kind of another day, another service? And maybe not even just for the meeting, but what about today? What was your attitude this morning in coming to church or this evening in coming to church? Was there any passion? Was there any seriousness about God? I want to hear from you, and Lord, I want you to speak to me, and God, I need you. Or is it just kind of, well, it's another service, and I'm here because this is what we do. And I'm not down. I understand. I've been saved since I was 6, so 24 years. I grew up in church. I understand can't think of the word right now, but just the rut you get in of going to church and doing the things. And look, sometimes the Christian life is just being faithful. Right? It doesn't mean that every single time you pray to her, you have to be like begging God, God, speak. But do you ever do it? And I'm afraid, and I was thinking about it as I was studying this evening, that I think so many of us as Christians, we kind of come to church enduring instead of actually seeking and searching and really expecting something from God. And I don't mean enduring like, oh, we're just enduring being at church, but we just kind of come like, okay, this has been a tough week, and this is going on in my life, and that's going on in my life, and I'm here because this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm thankful I'm here, but I'm just kind of getting through the day, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And sometimes that's how life is, right? But that's not how it should be all the time. There should be a little bit of excitement. There should be a little bit of a passion. There should be a little bit of a seriousness of, okay, God, like, I'm here to hear from you. Right? I'm not here to hear from Pastor Sherry. I'm not here to hear from Pastor Aaron. Or next week, I'm not just here to hear from Brother Pilkington. I'm here to hear from God Almighty, because guess what? I have some things in my life that I need God about, right? And God, you can guide and you can direct and you can help. And I understand how wicked this world is and how hard it is sometimes to live the Christian life. And I don't always know what I'm doing. So God, I need you. And I'm afraid we've lost some of that passion today. And that seriousness like David had of, God, man, I'm seeking you early. I'm seeking you in the morning. God, I need you, and I'm going to cry out to you. And so we just see his passion and his seriousness about trying to get a hold of God. But we find as we continue on here in Psalms chapter 5, that as David is talking about getting a hold of God, he brings up the Lord's attitude towards sin. And that's kind of what drew my attention to this passage. But as he's praying and talking about crying out to God and getting a hold of God and God hearing him, then he starts to go on some. And let's look at verses 4 through 6. He says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." So he's talking about getting a hold of God, but then he starts talking about the Lord's attitude toward sin. And can I say this evening, church, as we look forward to next Sunday, or maybe it's just simply our walk with God, and as we talk about getting a hold of God and hopefully, in a sense, having revival in our lives, can I say that if we're going to have revival, if we're going to get a hold of God, it'd be good for us to remember what God thinks of sin. If we're going to hear from him, if we're going to get a hold of him, if we're going to actually have revival and a meeting where we can look back and say, man, God did some things in my life, even in the 2 days that we have it, I think we need to remember God's attitude towards sin and what God thinks of sin and what our attitude towards sin should be. And you look here in verses 4 through 6, I see some things about sin. I see, first off, as you look at verse number 4, that you know what? You may get comfortable or used to sin, but God doesn't. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness." You know what our problem is, and because of our sin nature, we enjoy sin. We enjoy doing the things that we ought not to. I mean, yeah, there's certain sins, Brother Jordan, that we just hate and we don't like, and we're, you know, I want nothing to do with that. But we have our pet sins. We have our sins that we justify. We have our sins that we make excuses for. We have our sins that, if we just simply put it, our flesh enjoys doing it. That's why we do it, is because we enjoy it. But you know what we need to remember tonight? That just because you may enjoy the sin, just because you may take pleasure in the sin, just because you may be comfortable with it or make excuses for it or think it's okay, God doesn't. Because the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in sin. We're talking about sin tonight. We're talking about things that go against the Word of God. And you think about some verses in Scripture, you know, and in the book of Psalms it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God." Have you ever thought about the things that you listen to or the things that you watch or the things that you say or the imaginations that go on in your heart and say, hey, is this acceptable with God? Is the Lord pleased with what I'm listening to and hearing and talking and all those types of things? In Psalms as well, David said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Better be careful about what you watch. And even if you go to, keep your spot here, but go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It's in the Bible somewhere. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, Philippians 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You know what God wants us to have involved in our life and the things we're a part of and the things that we think of and the things that we do? And you look there and it says, things that are pure. And I think sometimes because we live in this world and we're so used to the filth and the carnality and all that type of stuff, that we kind of forget that if something's not pure, God's not pleased with it. You know, if you're listening to that music and it's talking about fornication and adultery and drunkenness and pride and sin, and that's not pure. That's sin. God doesn't want you thinking on that. If you're watching immorality and nudity on your phone or on the TV or on the movie or on the video games and you're putting that things in your head, that's not pure. That's sin. If you're using speech that's vulgar and corrupt and full of sinful things and wicked things, that's not pure. And I think we just need to remember tonight that just because we live in a wicked world, in a defiled world, and a world that says it's okay to do these things or think of these things or be these things, right? We can look at all this outward stuff about, you know, we shouldn't watch this, and we shouldn't listen to this, and we shouldn't say this, and you shouldn't, but what about the things that are on the inside? Being filled with pride isn't pure. Being filled with bitterness isn't pure. Being filled with envy, it's not pure. And if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, 1 Peter 1:15, it says, "But as he which hath called you," Jesus Christ, "is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's not just talking about your speech. Conversation is your way of living. "Be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Can I tell you, Christian, today that God expects and God wants you to be pure? What you listen to and what you watch and what you say and the things going on in your heart and the things you do in secret, God wants you to be pure. And God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And just because we get used to it and just because we're okay with it and it's our pet sin and we make excuses and it's, doesn't mean God's up in heaven taking pleasure in it, because you know what David said? "Thou art not a God that taketh pleasure in sin." And I think we need to remember that this morning. And this evening, just this morning somewhere, some time of day. Can I tell you this evening, Christian, that God hates sin. And he is not going to overlook yours. You may have the excuses, you may have the justification, you may have the, "Well, so-and-so does it," or "It's normal," or "It's okay." If it ain't pure, if it ain't holy, it's sin, and God hates it. Go to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 16. And understand, this is Old Testament, and he's talking to the wicked here, but look what the Lord has to say in the principle here, Psalm 50 and verse number 16. It says, "But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and casteth my words behind thee? When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with them, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." And once again, I understand that's the Old Testament, and he's speaking to the wicked. And I'm not saying tonight if you sin, God's ready to tear you in pieces. But look at God's attitude and what he has to say. And some of these things, you know what, to those doing wickedly, "Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee." You know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You know what, Christian, when you know what the Word of God says and you cast it behind your back and say, "Well, I know the Bible says I shouldn't do this, but forget that," or "I know the Bible says I should do this, but forget that," that's sin, that's wrong, and God takes notice. "When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers." I wonder how many Christians have been partaking of adultery and of adulterers because of what they watch and what they look at. That's sin. That's wickedness. Just because it's on the TV, just because it's your favorite TV show or video game or social media thing, doesn't make it right. "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit." having things come out of your mouth that shouldn't come out. Lies, vulgarity, wicked things. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Gossip and discord and scorning. I'm just talking about wrong things, sin here. And you know what the Lord says in verse 21? These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. And that's what happens. Because we have a merciful God, because we have a long-suffering God that doesn't just smack us upside the head every single time we sin, he allows us to have a free will to choose what we want to do. So we get involved in sin and these things that we ought not to and wrong, and God doesn't strike us right away. So all of a sudden we think, oh, well, I'm okay because God hasn't done anything. That's a dangerous spot to be in. And just because you're comfortable with your sin and okay with your sin doesn't mean God is, because he says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Whether it's on this earth or one day before God, when you stand before him, God's gonna address your sin. And it's not going to be good. I'm not just trying to be mean tonight. I'm just trying to say that God hates sin and he's not going to overlook yours. And that just because we may get comfortable with sin, it doesn't mean that God does. And as this meeting's coming up and as we live our lives, you know what we ought to do? We ought to make sure, hey, I don't have this sin that I'm comfortable with in my life. But not just do we see that, but we also see in Psalm chapter 5, that sin will ruin your relationship with God. In verse number 4 of Psalm chapter 5, the Bible says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. God hates sin, God hates evil, and he does not want to dwell with it, and he does not want to be around it. If you go over to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and verse number 5, look at what the Bible says here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. The Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous. Verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all our sin. Praise the Lord for that blood of Christ that allows us access to walk with God. But what does it say? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. It doesn't say that if you go off in darkness and do your own thing and involved in sin and iniquity and wrongdoing, that God's just walking right there with you and you're buddy-buddy. No, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Christian, sin will come between you and God, and you will not be close to the Lord with unrepentant sin in your life. And look, we all mess up, we all do wrong. I'm talking about something in your heart that you know is wrong. A sin that you're doing that the Holy Spirit has worked on you about and said, this is wrong and you need to get it right, and you keep it there, you know what? That's going to come between you and God. Pastor brought up the verse this morning about Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Man, when you got sin in your life, you're going in an opposite direction of what God is, and God's not going to follow you around like a lost little puppy. Praise the Lord for our salvation. Praise the Lord for eternal security, but that will mess up your relationship. You will not be fellowshipping with him. Over in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, familiar verses. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, James 4:8. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Right? If you want to draw close to God, if you want God to get close to you, you got to get close to him. And then look what it says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, it's a part of drawing nigh to God, getting the sin out of your life, because, hey, back in Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 4, neither shall evil dwell with thee. He doesn't want to be around your sin. He doesn't want to fellowship with your sin. It breaks things off. It messes with your relationship. Christian, don't let sin mess with your relationship with God. It's not worth it. It's a whole lot better to be close with the Lord and have the blessings and protection and guidance of God instead of that sin having that wall between you and the Lord. Praise the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord for still going to heaven, eternal security. But man, that sin will mess with your relationship with God. I've been there. I've experienced that before. Right? Where there's something off between me and God. And man, reading the Bible doesn't just The Lord doesn't speak to me, it seemed like, the way he should. And listen to the preaching. Man, it doesn't hit the way it should. Man, there's probably some sin in my life. My prayer time isn't what it should. You know what that is? That's some sin in my life that's stopping my relationship with the Lord, that's ruining my fellowship. Sin will ruin your relationship with God. I'm trying to get through this tonight, moving on to the next point. Can I just say this as well, going to Psalms chapter 5, talking about sin, that the Lord is not very fond of those who commit sin. And if you look in verse number 5, the Bible says this, the Bible says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Now, once again, I want to be clear, this is Old Testament. This is talking about workers of iniquity and the wicked, and I'll say some things later about this, and so I'm not saying this is God's attitude necessarily towards a Christian if they're involved in unrepentant sin. But you look in the Bible, and you see some things that God has to say about those who commit sin and wickedness, and it's not very nice. And I know there's this whole thing about, you know, God loves the sinner and hates the sin, but you know, really, when you look in Scripture, and I was studying this out, it's very clear God hates sin, and the Bible talks about that, but there's a whole lot more that the Bible has to say about God hating or abhorring those who do the sin than there is about God saying he hates the sin. I mean, the Bible says here, "Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity." It doesn't say that God hates iniquity. He does. It says the workers of iniquity. Go over to Psalm chapter 11 and verse number 5. Psalm 11 and verse number 5. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 11, 5. "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Once again, it doesn't say he hates their wickedness, or hates. It says he hates them. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, Proverbs 16 and verse number 5. It says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Once again, it doesn't say that pride is an abomination. It is, but it says everyone, the person that's proud in heart, they're an abomination to God. You go over to just a verse, a chapter over to Proverbs 15 and verse number 8. Proverbs 15, 8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth them that followeth after righteousness." And then you jump down to verse number 26. The Bible says, "The thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but is that the words of the pure are pleasant words." I'm just trying to get across, and there's more the Bible has to say, that the Bible makes it very clear, God's not very happy with those who sin and commit wickedness, right? And I do want to be very clear tonight, praise the Lord for Jesus Christ and the dispensation of grace that we live in, amen? Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, that when God looks at me, he sees his son Jesus Christ, that I'm forgiven because of the blood of Christ and I'm sealed by Christ. Praise the Lord for the dispensation of grace, that we're not in the Old Testament, that some of those things when you sinned and did wrong, that you were put to death. But I do want to say this, like, those verses are still in the Bible. And I don't know how that all exactly translates, and I'm not saying tonight that if you sin, God hates you and you're an abomination to God. But I am saying there's something to God not being happy with those who sin. And I think it's pretty foolish to look at all that the Bible has to say about that and say, oh, you know what, I can just sin and do wrong and do whatever I want and be a worker of iniquity and commit wickedness, and God's just up in heaven okay with it. I don't agree with that. And I don't think the Bible does either. Because at the very least, regardless of all, your sin still grieves God. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 25. Once again, I'm not saying he hates you and you're an abomination. Because of Jesus Christ, I think we have grace, praise the Lord. But this is New Testament. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 25, the Bible says this. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that it may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so Paul here writing about a bunch of sin, about the things that we ought not to be doing. What does he say? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because of our sin. And so all I'm saying, at the very least, your sin grieves God. It bothers God. It displeases God. God is not happy with you when you sin. And we ought to remember that tonight, church, that God takes sin seriously. And just because, once again, we live in this world that excuses it and says it's okay and it's not that big of a deal and you're not, God still hates sin. And God's not very happy with those who live in unrepentant sin. And I'm not talking tonight to that, oh, we always have to be looking over our shoulder because as soon as we do one wrong thing, God hates us and God's not. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying too many Christians go around with unrepentant sin in their life, meaning sin they know that is wrong and they should get right, but they don't. And they think that God's okay with that, and he's not. Because at the very least, your sin is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And that should bother you as his child. Sin is wrong. And then lastly, we see here in Psalm chapter 5, I removed my bookmark, but Psalm chapter 5, we see that God hates all sin. Talking about sin, it's good for us to remember that God does hate all sin. Not just the ones that you hate, not just the ones that you think are a big deal. God hates all sin. In Psalm chapter 5, in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." And of course, we look at that, it talks about how God abhors, right? God's disgusted. God can't stand what the bloody man, right? We would say, oh yeah, you know, someone that's bloody, someone that's murderous, someone that's vile and that, all that kind of stuff, right? Like, yeah, that makes sense that God would hate that. But you know what it says? It says, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, that speak lies. And it doesn't just say that God will abhor the bloody man. It says God will abhor the deceitful man. And there's a lot of Christians that will sit in church and they'll talk about all the wickedness of the world and the homosexuals and the fornicators and the adulterers and the drunkards and the drug addicts and all these types of people that are doing wrong. And they're full of deceit. And they'll lie and not think twice about it. They'll be deceitful. They won't keep their word. They'll be a hypocrite in church. They'll come and act like they're one way and I'm all spiritual and I love God and I've got my church clothes on and my King James Bible and I'm doing all this. And then they'll go home the same night and watch wickedness on their TV and not care. They'll go listen to worldliness on music or worldliness on vulgarity on things that are right. It does. That's not that big of a deal. That's deceit. That's hypocrisy. I'm just saying, God's not very happy with that. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, Proverbs 6, 16. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. So these are a big deal, right? These are things that God would say, like, hey, you better stay away from these things. And you know what the first one of the list is? It's not being a homosexual. It's not being a fornicator. It's not being an adulterer. It's not being a murderer. It's not being a rapist. And those are all terrible, horrible things that God hates. But it says, a proud look. You know what the second one is? A lying tongue. And I wonder how many Christians would sit in church and act all righteously indignant against all the other, you know, wicked, horrible sinners in the world, and that they're full of devil and full of pride and arrogance. And they think they know everything, and no one can tell them anything different. And they're not going to listen to anybody, and they're not going to be told they're wrong, and they're not going to be told they need to change, and they're not going to listen. Or they're lying lips. They're a liar. They're a deceiver. Hey, God cares just as much about that as he does the horrible, wicked sin out in the world. You know, you continue on in this list at the end there, verse number 19, it says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Man, I know a lot of Christians that have no problem running other Christians down at church or at whatever get-together. And, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? And can you believe so-and-so would do that? And there's a bunch of gossip. And that's an abomination to God. And that should bother you. You should care about that. You know, we already looked at the verses, but over in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just turn there again because I want to make sure I get them all right. But Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Man, that sounds like church people I know, amen? I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I've been in church long enough. Right? Bitterness. There are Christians that, yeah, they'll come to church and sit in church and they'll be involved in things, and you know what? They have so much bitterness in their heart, it's not even funny. And as Paul says, there's a root of bitterness in there, and they hate somebody or can't stand somebody, or they hate their own life and they're miserable all the time and they're never happy. Why? Because of bitterness. Because I can't believe this happened to me and I'm just not going to let it go. That's sin. That's wrong. God says, put it away. Wrath, anger, clamor. You know what clamor is? That's complaining. Now, we know people never complain, right, Pastor? Christians would never do that, right? And that's wrong. You look back in 1 Corinthians and God talks about the Israelites that murmured and complained and what happened to them. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say, us Christians, we get pretty full of ourselves and think, oh, we're good. And there are, in all honesty, some Christians that sit in the pew that are just as full of the devil as the Christians sitting at the bar stool. And just because you're wearing your church clothes and carrying your King James Bible and do this and do that does not mean God's overlooking your sin. Just because it's not a big deal. And evil speaking and all that. I'm just trying to say this evening that God hates all sin. Including my sin, right? I had to sit and ask God for forgiveness as I was studying this because it's not, oh, I'm the preacher, so I get to talk about everyone else's sin. No, God's like, hey, dummy, what about these things you're doing that you ought not to? God hates all sin, so before you start focusing on everyone else, you should probably check your own heart. So before tonight, you sit there, and I'm talking about sin, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I hope so-and-so's listening, or I wish so-and-so was here because they need to hear this message because there's things going on. How about you look at your own sinful heart and say, okay, God, what do I need to get right? And God, what's going on in my heart, big or not big, that you know what, you can't stand because it's sin and unrepentant in my life? Over in Psalms 139, you know what David said? He said, search me, O God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if we want revival and we want to meet with God during the meeting with Brother Pilkington and even just in normal church service, you know what we ought to do? We ought to come to God and say, God, would you search my heart? And God, would you help me get serious about sin and get serious about getting these things out of my life and out of my heart? Because you're holy and you still care about it. And even though I've gotten a little bit cold and even though I've gotten a little bit used to it and even though it's just kind of part of my life now, not that big of a deal, it's still a big deal to God. And we wonder why we're so cold in church. We so wonder why we don't see revival. And we wonder why we don't see people saved and great things happening for God. Maybe because we're full of sin. That God says, hey, if you want to hear from me, if you want to get a hold of me, if you want to see something done for me, you know what? You need to get that sin out of your life because I'm serious about sin. I'm serious about you being right with me. Before revival can happen, you need to get serious about your sin and get right with God. Go to Isaiah chapter number 6. And I think we'll end with this tonight. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. Isaiah 6 and verse number 1, Isaiah speaking, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Though this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And so Isaiah writing, and you know what happens? Isaiah sees the Lord in his glory. Isaiah sees the holiness of God. Isaiah sees who the Lord really is and what God's all about. And you know what happens when you see who God really is and what God's all about? You see who you really are. And Isaiah doesn't start saying, oh, you know what? Look at God and look at how good I am now. And man, I'm such a great servant and I'm such a great prophet. And look at all these things I've done for God and look at how good I am. No, when he sees God's holiness, you know what he does? He says, man, woe is me. For I am undone. For I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know what happens? He starts to see, man, that he's a sinner. That, man, I have some sin in my life that I need to get right compared to this holy and righteous God. You know what we need tonight? We need some Christians that get a glimpse of that God and get a glimpse of who they really are and say, you know what? Not, oh, I'm good, and yeah, here's my excuse, and here's why this is okay what I'm doing, and it's okay what I'm a part of, and okay what I'm listening to, and okay what I'm watching, and okay what I'm saying, and okay that's a sin that's in my heart. But no, woe is me, and I need to get it right. And you know what happens? It says, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It gets right. And you know what? Praise the Lord tonight. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what you and I can do? Hey, man, we can come to an altar, amen, and we can get it right with God. We can get under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can say, you know what, God, forgive me because I know this is sin and I know you've dealt with me about it and I know I should have gotten it right and I haven't, but Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive me. God, would you cleanse me? And you know what? He does, praise the Lord. He doesn't beat you upside the head and say, nope, you have to just struggle with it. Nope, you should know better, so I'm not forgiving you and you just have to deal with it. No, he forgives us, amen, even if it's been a while and we should have gotten it right a long time ago. He's faithful and just. But you know what happens after Isaiah sees the Lord, after Isaiah sees his sin, and after Isaiah gets right, he hears from God. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Man, that's when he hears from the Lord then. That's when he realizes, hey, God's looking for someone and God wants to do something and God can do something if someone will just volunteer. You know, he says, hey, I want to be that one. Why? Because he got that sin right. And you know what I believe next week, what God wants to do? God wants to speak, I want to say something to everyone. Because God has a calling. And yeah, maybe it's ministry, maybe it's what, maybe it's just something God wants you to do in your life. Maybe God just has something for you where he's just saying, hey, I want to speak to you. I want to meet with you. I want to do something in your life. And you can be the one to say, hey, God, here am I. Lord, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I'm open for what you have for me. I believe God wants to do that, Pastor. I believe God wants to do something at Faith Baptist Church next week. And not just next week for the meeting, but hey, during normal Sunday services or Thursday night services, God can still do that. But you know what needs to happen? We need to get right with God. And we need to get serious about our sin. We need to understand that, guess what? We're never going to see the Lord high and lifted up. We're never going to hear his call. We're never going to be the one calling if we've got that sin going on in our life, keeping us from the Lord and messing our relationship with him. And so let me ask you tonight as we close this down, Are you trying to get a hold of God? Are you serious and passionate tonight about hearing from the Lord? Look, I understand there's life. I understand there's careers. I understand there's relationships. I understand there's everything going on in this world. That doesn't change the fact that we're still here to serve God. That we're not here in this earth for my career or for my relationship or for my hobbies. No, I'm here for the Lord. And I need God. And so are we being serious about getting a hold of God? Are we being passionate about, Lord, I need you. And God, I want you to do something at the meeting, at church, at whatever. But what about the sin in our life tonight? But what about remembering what God's attitude towards sin is? And if you want to keep on being cold and being dry, like those dry bones in Ezekiel, and just going on ahead and just ho-hum, and life is this, and this other thing's going on, you have that choice. But can I say for myself, I want to see God do something in my life. Because God has been so good to me. I don't get to this point where, oh, you know, now I've my prayer's answered, and I'm getting married, and everything's good, so now you know what, I can just kind of coast along and just... No, Brother Jordan, you know what I said? Man, God has been so good for me, so you know what? I want to do even more for him. I don't want to be that man that was used by God or cared about God when I needed something, then all of a sudden God was good to me, and so now I can just live my life and allow sin and allow apathy. No, I want to give back to him because of how much he's given to me. And so how about you tonight? You know what I think be good? For some of us to get on our face before God and say, you know what, Lord, I need to get a hold of you. And God, I need to hear from you. And God, I need you to hear from me. And Lord, in this meeting, in my life, God, I want it to happen. So you know what, Lord, would you search my heart? Would you try me and see if there's any wicked way in me? And we need to get some things right with God. And you know what I believe, full-heartedly? That if we did that, we'd hear the Lord. And we'd see what he wants us to do. And we'd see him do some great things in our life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.